So today I'm talking about the ecology of aquatic insects in these coastal streams of Alabama. The two primary objectives of this paper was to just to get an understanding of the insect fauna in these streams, and our knowledge of the ecology of these systems are somewhat poor, so we wanted to have some kind of understanding of the community structure in these streams, see if possibly they fall under a equilibrium status or a non-equilibrium system. So our study area is in Alabama here, and more specifically, a little part we call LA, lower Alabama down here. And this here is the Mobile Tensile Delta, which drains most of the state, and split our study sites from the west side in Mobile County and the east side in Baldwin County. And for this analysis, we selected four different insect orders, two of them being Hemimetabolus, one of them the Odonates, Lecoptera, and two Holometabolus groups, Coleoptera and the Trichoptera. And a little bit about our coastal streams. They're a little different than what many of you may be familiar with as far as streams are concerned. There's no rocks as you would get further north in many of the mountain streams and whatnot. Many of these are called blackwater streams due to the high tannin content and dissolved organic matter. They're low gradient, being found on the coastal plain, so they move somewhat slower than most streams. Many of their headwaters are from swamps or seeps. Primary substrate is sand. There is a lot of silt and mud and some clay as well, but primarily sand. And the primary habitat of which we'll find our our invertebrates are going to be in snag habitats. Basically, this is woody debris that catches a lot of leaf litter and other things that flow through the stream. And as I said before, we just don't really know that much about these systems, especially in coastal Alabama. And so here's some photos of our typical habitats that we'd be collecting our insects from. A nice snag habitat, as you can see, is collecting a lot of leaf material. And the other one here, we have, I don't know if you can see it too well, but these are root masses that come up in the middle of the creek. And so these are the most typical habitats that we'll come across in the streams. And another interesting thing about sampling in our coastal streams are our common encounters with our local relatives, including the cottonmouth, American alligator, and the vicious manatee. And so our study sites, we came up with 17 streams, and we had some stipulations that we had to consider for our site selection, and one of them was that they all had to drain into the Mobile Tensile Delta, as I showed, is this area here. And here's a close-up of the delta. It's about 900 square kilometers of somewhat pristine wetland, other than the obvious developments over here. We need them to be permanent flow because we're also going to be sampling in other seasons. They had to be accessible due to all the gear that we have to carry out there. And they ranged about a meter deep. It's kind of hard to do kick nets and anything deeper than that without being swept away. And they ranged anywhere from 1 to 10 meters wide. And so here's our sampling protocol. And that handsome young man's getting dissolved oxygen reading. And so the samples we're talking about today came from the summer of 2007, mostly in June, or all in June and July. We did standard kick nets for 1 minute intervals. We made a 60 by 60 centimeter sampling plot out of grounding rod for our quantitative. We did 5 samples per stream, and we bagged them, tagged them, and took them to the lab for further identification. And all of our identifications here are at the generic level, and that's mostly because many of the genera, we don't have a key to the species, and as far to our knowledge, these all represent monophyletic groups. And so here's what we got from our sample, 17 sites, 5 samples a site. We have 85 samples. And so here's our generic rank. We had 49 genera, and Not Arcade Bay. Sorry. And so we have the typical curve right here, as Dr. McCready was talking about earlier. We have a couple of very common and a lot of few rare species. And so here's the number of genera we got for each of the orders: 13 for the odonates, 6 for the Leucoptera, 13 for the Coleoptera, and 17 for the Trichops. And here's a list of the most common 11 genera that we encountered in our samples. And here's our accumulation curve, and this is important for us because this gives us confidence that we got, you know, a fairly good representation of what we would expect to get if we were to do even more samples. It looks like we're reaching the top there, around 16 strains or so. So we can be confident with the number of genera that we're getting with our samples, that they represent our strains fairly well. And here's the richness per sites, and as you can see, there's a pretty consistent richness throughout the strains, except for these bottom three. There's just not much going on there. And so when we do the cluster analysis, you can also see that they stick out pretty obviously. So for our next analysis, we drop these because we just didn't feel like they'd give us a fair representation of the structure. And so next we did a non-metric multidimensional scaling using the 14 sites after we dropped the three and 49 genera. And as we can see here, based on the 49 genera between the 14 sites, there's really not much organization going on with the analysis. Everything's kind of spaced out. There's no real clumping. The stress factor is very weak. And so we can say that this somewhat suggests a random assemblage of these community structures. Next, we're going to look at patterns of co-occurrences between these streams to get a further understanding of the community structure going on. So we would look at each stream and calculate the how many times the genera would occur between each stream, so 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 1 to 3, all the way down through our 17 streams. And the results of this would lead us to one of three conclusions: that our rate of co-occurrence would be less than what we would expect from a random model, which may suggest strong competition within these streams that would structure the community, or the the rate of co-occurrence would be greater than what we would expect from a random model, maybe suggesting that all these insects have very similar habitat requirements, and then that we'd have the rate that we would expect from a random model. And so to do this, we look at our generic rank here among the sites. And as you can see, we have a couple that occur almost in every site, and we have many that occur at very few sites, 1 to 2 sites. So we drop these from our Monte Carlo, because if you have an analysis where you have genera that are at every site, that's just not going to tell you very much about your community that you're dealing with. And the same goes for one that's only going to occur at 1 or 2 sites. Leaves us with 25 genera. And so when we run this analysis, we keep two conditions. We have proportional allocation of genera, and we maintain observed richness for each of the sites, each of the 17 sites. So we have a pool of 25 genera that we randomly sample to each of the 17 sites, and we calculate the total co-occurrences among these streams. And we repeat that 100 times to give us our test distribution. And so our test distribution comes out like this. And here's our critical points, less than we would expect from random, and greater. And our observe occurs right here in the middle, which suggests that we have a random structure, which also implies that we have a non-equilibrium system. And so our conclusions from our fauna survey, we come up with 49 genera. And like we looked at, we talked about the accumulation curve, we believe that this is a fair representation based on our sampling dates, our site conditions, and our method. And we conclude that these structures represent a non-equilibrium system probably due mostly to the high degree of disturbance that these streams experience, mostly due to the shiftiness of the sand bottom's really unstable substrate. And I acknowledge our funding and all the field and lab work that I've been helped with. So, any questions? Well, I guess that depends on which genera for the elmids, the Stenelmus of the elmids. There's a ton of species within that group, but some of them they suggest we use a key from Florida, and because it's the closest thing we have. And many of them they have species accounts of adults, but they don't have the larvae, so. It's really hard to say, you know. Some of them, you know, are more specious than others, but I really.
One potential ramification of this genera level analysis is that you might have two species within that genera that are spatially segregating among streams, but you wouldn't observe it at that particular scale of resolution.
Right. Well, and we figure that, you know, we assume that they represent a monophyletic group. So as far as the community function goes, we assume that they're keeping the same function in the ecology.
Okay.